to my podcast All About Working Mums. And each week I interview a different mother about what they do and how they do it, and ask them to spill the secrets on having it all, just not all at once. We're coming to the end of this season now, and there's a couple more episodes left to go. But yeah, it won't be long before we're saying goodbye for the rest of the year. I'm going to be taking a couple of months off again to recoup for the next season, find some wonderful guests for you, interview them, and try not to go entirely mad balancing this podcast, my other podcast, my blog, family, work, all of that stuff. So yeah, if you have any suggestions of great mums that you think are really interesting or inspiring, that you would love to see me interview for this podcast, or if you are an interesting or inspiring mum, which I bet you are, then please do drop me an email at hello@amyliz.co.uk. I would absolutely love to hear your suggestions for the next season. I want to get as many different kinds of stories and jobs on here as possible. So yeah, that would be great. Before I tell you about this week's guest, I'm going to also give you another little heads up about the event that I'm running in January. It's called A Creative Day. It's on the 12th of January at Lambert's Yard here in Leeds, and it's going to be a day of connection with other creative women and coaching from the wonderful Holly June Smith, who you might remember from last season, and that goal setting for the year and like getting yourself like a good action plan, kind of decompressing from the festive season but getting like geared up for the rest of the year, and crafting as well. There's two creative workshops running as well. So yeah, tickets are £99, and you can find all the details at amyliz.co.uk/events. They'll be on sale probably until the end of November, early December, or until they sell out, whichever comes first. So yeah, get yourself over there or drop me an email if you want any more details or have any questions or anything. So my guest this week is Daisy Forster. She has a wonderful hand-dyed yarn company called Devon Sun Yarns, and makes absolutely beautiful, beautiful yarn for people to knit with. She also home educates three of her four boys at home. That's kind of implied by home educated, but yeah, while she runs her business as well. So yeah, she's got a lot going on, and we chat about how she kind of makes it work, the changes that she's been making in her business this year to kind of make it more manageable. And I think a lot of you would probably agree that that sounds like a lot to have on your plate, a business and home educating your children. She makes it sound really easy and fun as well, which I really enjoyed. And obviously she also talks about the harder, more difficult bits as well. But yeah, I think you're going to really enjoy this episode. So yeah, without further ado, here is Daisy. Hi Daisy, welcome to the podcast.
Hello.
Would you like to give everyone a brief introduction as to who you are and what you do?
Yeah, sure. Well, my name's Daisy. I live in Devon on the coast with my four boys and my partner, and I run my own company. It's an indie yarn company called Devon Sun Yarns, and I do a few other things. I run yarn retreats and I do business mentoring for small creative businesses as well.
Amazing. I feel like there's so much I want to talk to you about, but I think we probably need to start with yarn. How did you get into, like, so you hand dye yarn, don't you?
Yeah, I do. So my yarn business is hand-dyed yarn. So I take plain white natural yarn and I dye it loads of amazing colours, and then I sell it as a finished yarn product. And I run yarn retreats as well and sell kits. And that started 5 years ago now, when my youngest son was about 6 months old.
The perfect time to start a business.
yeah, when you've got four children. And yeah, we were in the last sort of month of my official maternity leave, and it was just one of those things that developed, really. I'd been doing a little bit of yarn dyeing myself just whilst I was at home with him as a baby, and really enjoying it, and had been sort of experimenting, and as often happens, I had ended up dyeing more yarn than I could actually use myself, and had a little bit of a stash building up, and people started to sort of show interest in it in knitting groups and things online where I was showing it off and saying, you know, is it for sale? And at about the same time, I was having a conversation with my partner, and his job was a little bit unstable at that time, and he said, oh, you know, wonder if you could make a business out of yarn, jokingly. And I said, oh, I bet I could. And he sort of laughed, and I said, no. And it was just one of those spur of the moment things where I had a little bit of maternity leave money left, and I just decided to invest it all in the minimum order for a bulk amount of yarn that you could buy at that time, was exactly the same amount. So it's just like, yeah, and by the time we got home from our holiday, the yarn was waiting on the doorstep, and I just sort of didn't really look back from that point on, really. And within 3 months, had what was turning into a really strong business.
Amazing.
Yeah, and then my partner was like, oh, I thought this was just going to be, you know, a hobby, and suddenly I was working full time. It was really great.
Yeah, amazing. What were you doing before that?
Well, long, long ago, when I had my first children, I was working in the NHS in mental health, in psychology services. So that was completely different, but actually kind of relevant as well, because I was running lots of groups and doing lots of mental health stuff with people. And when I do the retreats now, a lot of the people who come to craft because it is so therapeutic, and they do have struggles in their life, and so that is relevant, and I think that has really helped me. Yeah. But then in the middle bit, I just I had a shop for a little while, and so I did a bit of retail there, and so I sort of brought all of those skills together. You know, nothing is ever wasted, is it?
No, definitely not. Were you a big, since you said you were hand dyeing yarn before, were you sort of big into knitting, crochet, etc. before that? Or was it just the dyeing that was the kind of cool part?
No, I definitely have always been crafty. My oldest son started off at a Waldorf kindergarten, where they really encourage handcrafts with parents. And that got me back into things like knitting and crochet. And I was knitting him little toys and making him a doll. And then I would knit it a jumper and things like that. And so that really kickstarted the crafts back, you know, as an adult. I did it as a child, obviously, and then drifted away from it and then came back to it with that sort of creative surge that often comes when you have your first baby. And I was doing a lot of that, and then I started to knit little jumpers for the boys, and, you know, often make them clothes anyway, and hats and scarves and things. But I'm really fussy, I suppose, or particular about using really nice natural products that are really good quality and that will last. And so I was buying really lovely hand-dyed yarn, which, you know, it's not cheap. It's definitely an investment, but it just makes the whole process so much nicer. And then I was thinking, well, you know, this isn't quite what I want, and I'd like to make this a bit more about me, I suppose. How can I add my stamp to this? And then I was at like a parents, you know, little toddler group type thing, and another mum said, oh yeah, I hand dye yarn. And I was like, what is this? What, you know, you can do it yourself. And she sort of explained it, and I just started researching it and started trying it, and then, you know, you just really quickly get addicted.
I can imagine.
Because it's so much fun, and each time you do it is different, and there's so many possibilities. And it meant that I could dye something really beautiful and then make a jumper for my baby, because knitting for babies is great because it doesn't take very long. And then it was like totally unique for him, and I think I felt that a bit more because he was my youngest and probably my last, and I just wanted to have something really special for him.
And also probably a lot of hand-me-downs from his brothers, other than that.
Yeah, exactly, especially because I've got four boys, so the youngest, poor thing, he doesn't get a look in for clothes, you know, they all just come straight down the line to him. So it was really nice to make him a few things that were really sort of totally individual, and that I'd really made right from scratch. I mean, I hadn't spun the yarn, but, you know, I'd really put some of my own mark onto it, and that was really nice. So that's where it started. Yeah,
amazing. And I also want to talk about these yarn retreats, because I think that might be my dream holiday. And what do those look like? What does that entail if you go on a yarn retreat?
Oh, so yeah, they're amazing. So I hold them in Lyme Regis, which is just down the road from me where I live, which is just the most amazing cute little town right by the sea. And we have a beautiful house, which is so lovely to be in, really calming and just relaxing. And they run all weekend, Friday to Sunday, and people come, and there's women, usually about 8 to 10 women, and it's just a really lovely space to share with other people who have the same kind of hobbies as you. You don't have to make excuses and say, oh, sorry, I'm knitting at the dinner table, because everybody's knitting at the dinner table. And you can, you know, really make a connection with people that you've never never met before, but still enjoy a really lovely weekend with them. And we dye yarn, there's workshops, and people sit and they knit and they crochet, and they just really enjoy getting to know each other. People go for a swim in the morning in the sea because it's right, we're right by the beach. Enjoy the little town. Often people come as their first time away from leaving their children. Sometimes we have mums who just are like, oh, it's the first time I've left my kids and I just needed to get away. And it's just 2 days, so it's like perfect length. But there's loads of women who have loads of different jobs. People come from all over the world. So it's just such a lovely mix of people around the table, all united by their passion for crafting, which makes for a really interesting weekend. It's lovely, it's really lovely.
I imagine, and it really kind of harks back to like a more traditional way of kind of building community, I guess. This is a very specific example, but my favorite book is The Color Purple. I don't know if you've ever read and in it they make a quilt together, and one of the I wrote an essay about it in A-level, which is why it came to me, and it was all about how making the quilt together was like building community, and like how that's a really strong part of like women's communities from, you know, way back when. And it really strikes me as something a bit like that, that kind of like, you know, in the olden days, as it were, people would have sat around and created things together as part of a community, but we don't really do that so much anymore. So it sounds like a really lovely way of kind of connecting to that as well.
Yeah, it is really lovely. And I do know there are some people who've been on retreats who now consider the people that they met on the retreats to be amongst their best friends. And they go on holidays together. And a couple of people who've come have been so inspired by what they've learned that they, because I teach everybody how to dye yarn, and everybody has like a couple of goes at it over the weekend. And they've gone away and just felt so inspired by that, that they've set up their own yarn dyeing businesses. And then I see the other ladies who come on the retreat supporting them in that business, and it's just really lovely. It's just a really nice community feel. And a lot of people, about 50% of the people who come on retreats now have come before, so and often more than that. But you know, some people have been back 12 or 13 times, so, you know, they keep coming back. So it builds a real community. It's really nice.
Yeah, that sounds lovely. How often do you run them? How often do they happen?
Well, when I first started doing them about 4 years ago, obviously, I just did one and then that booked out, and then I did another one. I just built it up really gradually. And then I think last year was my busiest year and I did 10. So it works out about one a month-ish. This year I've done... I'm supposed to be having a slower year this year, and I've done 5 already, and it's August. But I'm trying to do a few less this year, just to have a bit of a quieter year, and then I'll do a few more next year.
Are they quite logistically difficult, you know, like, or have you kind of got a bit of a kind of like a template now, obviously, with like, because I imagine there's like catering and getting all the supplies in and everything, or is it kind of get easier each time? Or
It does get easy. I mean, I have learned what works and what doesn't work, absolutely. And I'm always looking out for, oh, that didn't work so well. Or, oh, that lady wanted that to drink and I didn't have it, so next time I'll get that. So I'm always like looking at how to improve them each time. But in terms of sort of fitting it into my life, then I have sort of got that down to, you know, the routine of how I do it and how it fits in. And the kids are used to me being away, because I'm away obviously all weekend. The kids are used to that now, and as they've got older, that's sort of got a bit easier. And so my family know how it falls, you know, and they know when I'll be home and all of that. And my partner's got more confident about, you know, having them for the weekend and not having to take them all out for a really expensive day out somewhere to keep them all happy, which completely, you know, makes me going out to work, you know, pointless. Yeah. And he's got more confident at you know, managing things at home, so that when I come home, it's not quite so much carnage.
Yeah.
As it used to be. And I've got better at sort of making boundaries around, actually, I've been working all weekend, so now I'm not going to work for 2 or 3 days in the week. And I've got better at sort of telling my customers, and also sort of setting the expectation of my customers that, no, I won't be posting you know, product out on Monday or Tuesday because I'm having a day off and I'm not going to the post office. And no, I won't be responding to emails for 2 days because I've just worked solidly for 4 days.
Yeah, and it is, and you will be working like pretty much, well, not quite 24 hours, but a big chunk of that day you'll be on the whole time, which is quite exhausting.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Even if it's fun, it's still like a lot, isn't it?
That's it. And it's great. It's really great. And I love it. And it's my favourite part of the business, without a doubt. And I meet some amazing people who I now consider to be my friends as well. And it is really good. But it is tiring. And you can't do that and then do a full week of work and mothering as well. So that's got easier for sure in terms of, you know, working out the balance between how I fit the retreats into the business and into the family, definitely.
Yeah, definitely. And you sort of mentioned that kind of the yarn business became a full-time job, but you kind of fit it around your family. What does that kind of look like in practice for you? Like, is that evening and weekend work, or is it kind of, how does that kind of play out?
Yeah, well, it always looks different. I think there isn't one set like routine of how we do it.
Yeah.
It changes month on month, it changes year on year. I think maybe my third year, so 2 years ago, I was super busy working a lot. I mean, not actually that much in terms of full-time hours, but I was definitely putting the work in little bits here and there that you just don't notice, like, you know, responding to emails quickly whilst you're waiting for the kids to finish a class, or, you know, I'll just do 10 minutes on Instagram in the evening while I'm putting them to bed, you know, just fitting it in here and there. So I was doing a lot of that and getting up early in the morning to do a couple of hours before they got up. And especially at weekends, I'd get up early to do 2 or 3 hours of dyeing the yarn whilst my partner was in the house with them, so that then they, you know, they would all be asleep, and then I'd have like a block of it done. Also with yarn dyeing, it's pretty, there's like a process that you follow, and only some of it needs to be done with concentration. Some of it you can do around the kids. So I would just be really well structured and do all the yarn dyeing in the morning, and then the yarn needs rinsing and drying. And so I could do all of that during the day whilst I was at home with the kids, because they're home educated, three of them are home educated. So I could set them out activity and then be rinsing some yarn and hanging it out to dry.
Yeah, because it doesn't necessarily need that brain power, does it?
Yeah, whilst they were around, it's safe and all of that stuff. So just sort of trying to fit it in here, there and everywhere, really. I never had like, oh, Mondays and Tuesdays are your work days, and then, you know, there was never that distinction. There was a little bit because the youngest one went to preschool for a short time, so that sort of made me fall into a routine of, well, he's not here, so I can do a little bit now, and you just have to use that, don't you, an ebb and flow. This year I've got the youngest three home educated, like I said, now the oldest one goes to secondary school, and things look a bit different because I'm having a bit of a quieter year. So it's not so much, I'm trying not to work at weekends, which is really lovely, but mostly getting up early in the mornings. I'm not a person who can work in the evenings. I just can't do it. I can do like social media and that kind of stuff is great, but I can't dye yarn. I'm just too tired. I just can't think straight. And the light isn't great as well. That's a massive consideration for me. Have to have good light, and also for taking photos, of course, has to be daytime. So I just fit it in every which way I can, really.
Yeah. Do you find that quite stressful, or is it kind of just, that's just your normal now?
Well, I think it did get to a point last year where I was like, oh, this, it just feels constant sometimes, because you feel like you can never have a break. And I think especially with social media as well, where you feel like you have to be posting every day or 3 to 4 times a day, you know, some people say for Instagram. And I've got a really lovely active Facebook group, which is fantastic, but people do expect you to respond.
Yeah, of course.
Almost immediately. And also what happens is, if they see you active on Facebook in another group, like if I was in a knitting group chatting about my knitting, my own personal, you know, time, and I haven't replied to them within my business Facebook group, then they would like tag me again, or they'd see that I was active online. Why haven't you replied? And I found that got really draining, and I found that quite challenging. And I think there's a sort of expectation, maybe it comes from Amazon and, you know, delivery times and stuff like that, but there's an expectation that I respond immediately, whether it's Friday night or, you know, middle of the night, or people don't really seem to have a sense of weekend anymore. And I found that quite tricky. They'd want a response immediately online. They'd email on a Thursday night, and if I hadn't replied by Friday morning, email again. And the, you know, so that was really, really difficult. And they'd expect their parcel to be sent, you know, the day they bought it and arrive the next day.
And that's all well and good if you are Amazon or like a big company that has 24-hour staff and probably doesn't pay those staff very well, or treat them particularly well either. But when it's just you, that is incredibly unrealistic.
Yeah, it's really tricky. And, you know, people would say, oh, I you know, bought some yarn and it's not here. And I think, oh my gosh, I've, you know, lost it. It's really, and that's really stressful. So then I'd sort of pause whatever I was doing with my family and say, I've got to go and sort this out. And then, you know, get the laptop out and look it all up and everything. Then you'd find out that they bought it like Tuesday, but Tuesday evening.
Yeah.
And now it's Thursday. And you think,
there's
no way
I
bought it on Tuesday evening. Yeah, even if I'd have packed it straight away on Wednesday morning. And so all of that stuff got a bit overwhelming. After a few years, it was just like, oh, but that's really good, because at that point you go, okay, this is what I'm finding really difficult. I'm going to put some stuff into place. I'm going to be clearer about the days that I post. I'm going to be better at saying, you know, I've got an auto reply on my Facebook page now, and auto response on my email, and all of those things that say, I have heard you, I have, you know, listened to what you're saying or whatever, and this is how I'm going to respond now. So I've got set responses, and all of that stuff just really helps, having all that process in place.
Just get setting people's expectations a little bit.
Exactly. And I am super lucky, because the people that are in my Facebook group are lovely, and they do understand and they do help me out. So this year I've said, actually, I'm going to take a little bit of a step back from social media. I'm not going to be on Facebook every single day. I am still here if you need me, but I'm not going to be, you know, on my, I'm just having a little bit less screen time. And they are great. And then if somebody comes on and says, oh, you know, Daisy hasn't responded to this post from yesterday, somebody will say, oh, she only comes on twice a week now, you know.
Yeah,
if it's desperate, email her. And yeah, they do, and they're great. And also, you know, they're really lovely people, so that helps a lot.
Yeah, I can imagine. You say you're taking this kind of a bit of a quieter year. What does that kind of look like in practice? Is it just the social media thing you're kind of stepping back from, or and sort of less retreats, or what else are you kind of doing?
Well, I just decided that this year, just my family needed me a little bit more. A couple of my children have reached sort of ages where they just needed me to be around a little bit more. So I just, at the beginning of the year, thought, okay, maybe I just drop back a little bit now, because that's the advantage, isn't it, of running your own business. That's what we're doing it for, is that you can make it ebb and flow to your own life. And that's sort of, I just looked at what I wanted to do this year, and there were some things I wanted to do for myself. And time is limited, you know, there are only so many hours in the week, and there was just little things like I thought, oh, I want, you know, wanted to improve my running. Well, the only way I can do that is if I go for a long run on a Sunday morning. That's the time that works for my family. Well, previously I've been getting up early on a Sunday and working for 3 or 4 hours, so something has to give, you know. I have to choose one or the other, and I just decided this year I would choose, you know, to prioritize me and my family a little bit more. So it's just things like that. I have a really great subscription club, which has been absolutely the making of my business, and I wouldn't be where I am now without it, for sure. But I've been doing it for 5 years, and sometimes that monthly commitment, so every month people sign up and every month they get a box of yarn sent to them on a specific date. And so sometimes that monthly commitment is what kept me going, and I'd think, oh, you know, I'm really tired, I could do with a break, I've got to do the club. and that would roll me into the next month. And when we all have those worries about, oh, maybe I should give this up, maybe it's too much or whatever, or I don't want to do it anymore, I think, well, people are committed for the next 3 months, so I have to see these 3 months out and then decide. And by the time the 3 months came along, I was right back into it, loving it again. So that was great. It helped me to keep momentum up. It was regular income. It was really good. But it got to the point where I thought, oh, I wonder what it would be like not to have that pressure every month. And so I did it for 5 years. And then I just said, actually, I'm going to take a break for 6 months and just have that time to do other things as well and develop other products. So without that pressure of having to dye a certain amount of yarn by a certain date, get it all packed up and posted on a certain date, without that pressure, it has been lovely. And it was a brave choice in a lot of way, because that was a regular income. That was my bread and butter money kind of thing, you know, and I knew that I would always have so much money coming in each month. And so it was a massive income drop to lose those clubs. But I know I've got a really great customer base and I can start those clubs up at any time that I want to restart them. So that's fine. But it has given me an amazing break of breathing space where I've been able to think, actually, I'd really like to do this product and this product. And I'd like to start a podcast and I'd like to print another book and all of these things that I have been wanting to do that I just haven't been able to find the time to think about. When I've lifted that pressure of having monthly deadlines, I've been able to really think about how I want to take the business forward, how I can make it fit back in with my family as they're looking now, and how I can make it, you know, a really strong business that I'm still really interested in and in love with doing. Because after 5 years, you can't just keep doing the same thing every month. There has to be, you know, something else that inspires you and keeps you going. So it's been really great. It's been really lovely to have a break. I still posted on social media a bit, not as much, but, you know, every now and again. I've still run retreats because I love them and I love meeting people, and it's a really good way to stay in touch with people, and I love teaching and I love showing other people how exciting it can be, you know, to learn how to dye yarn and sort of sparking that creativity. So I've carried on doing that, but just taking away having to post and pack, which just takes such a massive amount of time. I did have an amazing assistant who was helping me do all that, and she actually retired at Christmas time, decided that it was time for her. She'd reached a point in her life where she didn't want to work anymore. And so that sort of really helped me make the decision.
Yeah, kind of as well, at the right time.
Yeah, it did. It sort of all came in together. So it's been really lovely. It's been really lovely to be able to do some other things. And, you know, in my personal life and with my family, to have weekends back to spend with them has been amazing. And also to be able to have that space to think about the things that I really want to do going forward. And I feel like I'm going to sort of pick it all back up again in September. And I feel like I've got a really strong plan and I am really excited to get started on the things that I want to do. And that's a really nice position to be in because, you know, after 5 years, especially when you're in a creative business, it's easy to sort of run out of creativity because it never runs out, but you can just end up feeling a bit like, ugh. And so it's nice to get some new, fresh ideas. It's really nice. I'm super excited.
Yeah, I'm excited now as well. And I think especially if you're working around your family, like you say, 5 years is a long time in the life of a young family, like, and what they need and you know, what it looks like all of you together. So I guess, yeah, changing up how you do things is kind of a good time to kind of reassess that.
Absolutely. I mean, when they're little and you fit it around when they're napping and all of that stuff, it's a completely different ball game to when they're 13 and, you know, you have to work really hard at keeping a connection with a 13-year-old boy, yeah. I find.
Yeah, and it's
easy to let that slip and be like, oh, I'm just doing emails, I'm just working tonight, and then...
Yeah. And suddenly, you know, 6 months have gone past and you have Ben spoken.
Yeah, exactly. And I definitely don't want that to happen. So just creating that evening space for him and making sure that we have loads of time at the weekends as a family to do the things that we want to do as a family. And it also has meant that I've had more time in the week to be able to really support the children in what they want to do with their learning. And I can I can say things like, oh yeah, we definitely will be able to do that class and we'll be there on time, because I'm not saying, oh, hold on a minute, I just need to do today's post run and I've got one more parcel to pack and it has to go in the post today and I know we're going to be late for forest school again and I'm really sorry about that, but this is really important. And then I drop post at the post office and rock up late, and now I've been able to say, actually, you're more important for this period, and it's been really nice to turn that balance, and we haven't been late and I haven't been sort of putting them to one side. It's always about getting the last post. Yeah. It's always, you know, it's always like, I've got to get to the post today, I've got to get to the post today. And you know, they're, this time for the last few months, it's been really nice to be able to just put their classes and their schedules and their priorities first for a little while. Yeah, it's been lovely.
Yeah, I can imagine. That feels like a good segue to talk to you a little bit about homeschooling, because I think that's kind of, you know, obviously it's not the norm for most people, and also on top of running a business as well. How did you decide that was sort of right for your family?
Well, we've always done it a little bit as they've sort of grown up. When my oldest was five, we just felt like it wasn't the right time for him to go to school. He was in Steiner kindergarten, which was really nice. And we just sort of looked into what we wanted for him, for his education, and felt like five was too young. And we were super happy for him to be at home. And for, you know, at that time, it was the right decision. And that was great. And then we moved house when he was seven. And we'd sort of talked about, maybe, you know, he would go to school a bit later on, and that felt like a really nice opportunity. We moved in August, so it was perfect, and so we just, it just felt like the right thing to do at that time was for him to go into the primary school, into the key stage two, I think it is, and at the local school, and he would meet people and we would meet people, and it's what he wanted. So that was great. So actually the local school didn't work out, but he moved quite quickly to a village school nearby, which he just loved and thrived on. And that was really nice. But his younger brother, the second oldest, who's 10 now, never really settled at school, and it didn't really work out for him. So he came out quite quickly because he just wasn't settling, didn't really like it. We had a period where we went away traveling around the world for a bit, so that was really great, and we just, you know, did very minimal sort of table work. We just did world schooling and they learned so much from that. And when we came back from that, my third son, who was seven at the time as well, said, I'd really like to try school, and he hadn't been to school at all. So we said, okay, yeah sure, no problem. So they all went back to school because they all decided to go back together. Yeah, but my second son just really still didn't work for him. And we felt like, well, we tried twice. He just really hated it. And it was really stressful and really difficult. And there is nothing like trying to run your own business whilst your child is having an incredibly stressful time at school. It was almost impossible.
So it's actually less stressful to have him at home and kind of...
Exactly.
Take on the extra schooling than it was to try and get him in there. Yeah,
absolutely. And I was spending so much time at school in meetings trying to support him and trying to get the school to support him, and being really stressed and upset myself with the stress and upset that he was going through. And and then last year we just like, this isn't working. We gave it a shot, it's not working. No. And so so he will never go back to school, and that's fine. And he is a completely autonomous learner. He's amazing and just decides what he's interested in and will go for it. So he doesn't do traditional schooling. He doesn't sit at a table and read and write and do, you know, lessons. And I'm not stood at a blackboard like...
Yeah. Because I think that's what people kind of imagine when they say homeschooling. They think that you're just kind of replicating that school experience, but just at home. But what does it actually kind of look like?
No, I mean, absolutely not. His younger brother, who's eight now, he loves that kind of stuff. And he loves workbooks. And he has some time with a maths tutor, which he absolutely adores. And that's his favourite time of the week. And the youngest one is five now. So really at five, we're just playing games. Yeah, we just do like letter jigsaws and stuff like that with him. And that's enough, because we do enough in our daily life that he's learning all the time from that. So the younger two really love that kind of learning, and they will go to classes. We go to a science club. We go to, there's a really amazing, it's called a curiosity group, where they do rock pooling and explore rocks and geology and geography and science and all those things molded into one, which is really lovely. We go to groups with friends where we just socialize. They go to a forest school. You know, they do so many different things. And then they do all the other things as well, like scouts and cubs and tennis and judo. And so it means our evenings are really crazy busy in term time, because they're doing those after school activities, and sometimes we're just like running from one to another, but that's partly life with four kids, so that's fine.
Whether you wouldn't escape that if they were at school either.
No, exactly. And it's great, they love it and I love it, so that's okay. And when we stop loving it, then we stop doing it and we make a change and we say, actually, this, you know, group at this time and this day is causing everybody a lot of stress, let's see, you know, how we can change that. So that's really nice. And yeah, so Rowan, my 10-year-old, he has a lot of his own stuff going on, so he chooses his own projects. He's very much into farming and engineering and practical based learning, and that's what he loves doing. We go canoeing, you know, over the summer. Obviously we're not going to carry that on through the winter, but we do a full day's canoeing every fortnight where we all go, and that's been great for them in lots of ways. And then it means I can say, oh, you're loving canoeing, we need to pick up swimming lessons again. And if they're a little bit more reluctant, then I'll be like, well, you know, you have to do the swimming if you want to get better at the canoeing. They want to do some whitewater rafting and stuff, so it just sort of ebbs and flows, really the same as the business. It, you know, what fits them at that time of year and at that time of their interest. They might do a club for a term and then decide they don't want to carry on, so it's always changing. There is no blueprint or picture or curriculum, which I think some people find really difficult to get that in. You know, how does that look? How does it work? And when do they come and assess you? And all of those things. People are really naturally curious about it. And it's a really hard thing to answer because it looks different for every single family. Every family does it differently. And actually, even within my family, all of my children do it differently. So it's a really difficult thing to convey. But I think essentially you just have to really trust in the process and keep looking at it. Keep seeing what they're doing, how they're doing, is he learning, is he happy, you know, is he engaged, and that's the most important things, really.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think I can imagine it kind of for I mean, if you do the traditional schooling, kind of get that like level of anxiety of like, well, if he can't read by X date, then he's like behind everyone else, and what will that mean for their future and whatever it is. But like, I mean Ben's only one and he's learned a million things in the last year alone. Like, life teaches you things to a certain extent, and obviously then you're doing all the clubs and all of that kind of stuff as well, and you're like, they can't help but they want to absorb knowledge. Like,
exactly,
they absolutely want to learn about stuff. Like, kids, the whole point, everyone goes, oh, it's so annoying when kids just ask why all the time. It's because they want to know and they want to learn. So it's cool that you kind of find ways to like encourage them to learn about the things that they're interested in.
Yeah, and also it's easy when you're learning something that you're interested in, then that's easy. So the struggle can be a little bit around like, well, I don't want to do maths. You know, okay, you don't want to sit at the table and do maths. That's fine. Let's play a game. And then we play a game which involves, you know, times tables or something. Well, I mean, is it tricking? I don't know. It's just presenting it in a more interesting way, isn't it? And, you know, Rowan struggles with reading and writing, but he goes to an engineering group. He thrives at this engineering group. And when he has to draw a plan of what he wants to make, and he has to measure, and he has to, you know, work out the angles and stuff and apply the maths, he does it, and he does it really well, and he does it in a way that doesn't make him stressed and anxious and that he can cope with. And that's the most important thing. And I've seen, particularly with him, I've seen his mental health and his happiness just you know, rocket since he came out of school. So and that's the most validation that you need. And also when you're in this community, and the home ed community is amazing, you have other parents all the time, and we are all constantly doubting ourselves and our decisions and what we're doing, and you know, saying to each other, oh, I'm really worried about this, how can you, you know, what can I do about this, and somebody else will say, yeah, my son didn't learn to read until he was 9, and then suddenly he just got it, and now look at him, he's reading, you know, in political texts at 11 or whatever. And yeah, so you've got other people there all the time to say, this was my experience, and hey, this didn't work for me, maybe it'll work for you. And I think also now what's changed massively since we were home educating Oliver, and you know, sort of 7-8 years ago, is that we have this amazing online resource, which you do have to be quite picky about, but there are Facebook groups, and Instagram is a massive resource for ideas and inspiration, and also community, you know, meeting other parents is really great.
Yeah, no, definitely. And also, like, it's what we do as adults to a certain extent. Like, I'll happily pick up a book about, like, I'm a massive sociology nerd. Like, I'll happily pick up a book on that, on something about that. And I have probably ignored everything to do with science, like actual science, for close to 15 years now. Well, exactly. Not quite as long as that. I'm trying to do the maths, which I'm also ignoring. And no one thinks it's a problem because I work in marketing. So as long as I learn about stuff to do with marketing and I can do all of that stuff, then it doesn't really matter if I ever touch science again. Like, if your son became an engineer, it wouldn't matter if the only kind of maths he could do was engineering-based maths, because you never actually need to know it.
Yeah, and, you know, it's really about that love of learning. And I see that a lot on the retreats as well. I see women come and they are really nervous about dyeing the yarn, and the, you know, they'll sort of stand back and you say, oh, you know, let's get started, and they'll be like, oh, I'm just too nervous to do it, really worried they're going to ruin it, worried it's not going to turn out very well, worried that it's going to be rubbish. And so, you know, that journey in itself that people go through just learning how to dye the yarn is quite similar and really, really interesting to me, because it always comes back to the psychology to me, because that's my training. But it's really fascinating watching people go through a real growth as they learn that actually this is okay and it's enjoyable, and look, I thought I was going to be rubbish at it, and I thought what I did wasn't very good, and it's turned out really, really beautiful. And then you've got all the other people in the group going, wow, I love that. I love that colour, and it's really lovely. And genuinely appreciating somebody else's, you know, creative efforts is a massive boost to, you know, to your confidence. So it's, as adults too, it's still the same. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you find that it's quite a lot of work to find all the different games and groups and all of that? Does that take up a big chunk of time, or does it kind of just kind of flow quite nicely in, you know, with the day?
Well, I mean, again, community is really good. We have like a local Facebook group, and so people will post in there, oh, look, this is happening, or this is happening. And also, we don't want to do too much stuff, because you end up, I try and only do one activity a day, because otherwise you leave no room for anything else, and we're just rushing, and I'm just driving all the time. And we did have a period where I just felt like I was driving all the time, and so, you know, we learned from that, and now we don't do activities that are so far away. We just have one activity, which is a big drive, and we try and fit that in with some other things over that way. But again, people tell you what's going on, you get into a little routine, you find the things that they like, stick with those and change the others. And yeah, but again, online resources are great. And also now, by the time it gets to the fourth one, I've got loads of games and ideas and stuff that, you know, we have loads of puzzles and things from that age group that he can play with, or they've tried this particular online reading program and it didn't really work, maybe it'll work for you. And so again, for me, I'm still constantly learning, constantly finding new things, but I'm interested in it, and so it doesn't feel like a chore, and I can see that it is benefiting my children massively, so that's okay, and I'm really enjoying it. So whilst that's the case, it feels easy. Yeah, I mean, not easy. It's not always easy, but you know, it feels, you know, it feels like it's
okay. Right.
Yeah, and like I said, you know, my son had such an awful time in school, and it isn't always the case for everybody. That isn't always why they choose to home educate, but that can be quite a common story. That going back to school would be so much more traumatic for me and for him, that this feels right. And he teaches me so much. I know that's a really massive cliche.
No, but he really does.
And yeah, and it's been really good as well. You know, we, at the beginning of the year, we were like, right, what do we want the children to be thinking about this year? What areas do we want to look at as a family? And we were like, right, okay, we'd really like the children actually to be a bit more active. And so how are we going to do that? Well, first of all, obviously, we have to be more active. So that's been really good for me, because I've been modelling that to them, and I have been much more committed when I don't want to go running. I'm like, well, actually, I said I would, and the children are expecting me to, and I'm trying to show them that it's okay, and I did a race and came last, and well, you know, that's okay. It doesn't feel great, but it's okay, and that's what we do. And so it has been really good for me as well, because you do have to really think about your own behaviour and really sort of keep in touch with what you're showing them, and they're really good at knowing that actually, why do you work? Well, because we have to pay the bills, and yeah, and because I like to work, and because, you know, it's nice to feel good about being good at something. And my 10-year-old's got his own little business, and he knows that if he wants to buy something, then he needs to work a little bit harder in his business and earn some money, and then he can buy something. So we're all kind of teaching each other. It's really nice.
Yeah, sounds lovely. So I believe that you can have it all, but just not all at once. Would you mind sharing something you're maybe letting go of or sort of pressing pause on at the moment? I guess the business is one of them, to a certain extent, kind of in pursuit of that mission.
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely agree with that completely. And I think that I spent quite a long time sort of wrestling with this. And when you're running your own business and trying to run a house and be a mother and look after your kids and all of that stuff, it is really hard. And I think you see a lot of dialogue online about how we can do it,
and you've got as many hours in the day as Beyonce.
Yeah, and you know, you can be a mother and you can run your own business and it's great. And then this term, you know, work at home mum came out and seemed to get really popular, particularly within craft businesses. And people seem to think that you're, you know, working with your children playing around your feet, and isn't that great? And actually, it's incredibly, incredibly hard, because what you're doing,
harder than going to work, honestly.
Yeah, and you know, I have this conversation with my partner, sometimes it's not as much of a conversation as an argument, but about how, you know, he goes to work and does his hours at work and works incredibly hard, and for that we are really grateful. But I am at home with the children and I'm working at the same time, and I'm trying to do both of those things together. And it does get to a point, it got to a point for me, maybe it doesn't get to this point for everybody, but it definitely got to a point for me where I just felt like I wasn't doing either very well, and I was trying to you know, have it all, do it all, be it all, get the biggest month sales of the year or whatever all of these business podcasts and business blogs tell you is possible. But at what price and at what cost, you know? And so you do end up, well, I ended up kind of really working on that feeling of resentment. Like, I resented my children for disturbing me when I was trying to get work done and ended up snapping them. I resented their activities that I had to take them to, which meant that I couldn't finish this thing that really needed finishing at this moment. You know, I resented my partner for not taking them out at the weekend so that I could work. And I'd be saying to him, you know, if you would just have them for 3 hours, I can fit a full day's work into 3 hours, because I could and I can, you know. Because I can fit three hours, you know, work does look like a whole day, because I have to, because I've learned to work quickly. But you do get to a point where you think, is this what I really want to be doing, and do I want to be feeling so cross with customers who email me rightfully asking where their package is, because I'm trying to spend time with my children at the beach? Do I want to be cross with my children because I'm, you know, trying to work and they're interrupting me, when of course they want to interrupt me, they're hungry? And you just sort of have to pull back from that. And then battling with all my own stuff about feeling like I had so many ideas for this business and I knew I could make it great, but I couldn't do that at this time in my life. And so I just, in the end, really, you know, dug deep and thought about it and talked about it a lot with a lot of other people who run businesses. My sister, she's got young children and runs a similar business as well, and we talk about it a lot. And I just kind of came to the same conclusion that I sort of come to with my parenting and with learning and teaching the kids homeschooling and stuff, is that you just have to extend the time frame. You know, yes, I can have a successful business and I can do all the things I want to do, but maybe I don't have to do them all this year. Maybe I can do them all within the next 3 years or within the next 5 years. And does it really matter if I write the book I want to write this year or next year? And which is more important right now? And when you sort of start to unpick it like that, I found that really helped me to expand the time frame of my business and, you know, look at that over the time frame of when my kids will really need me. You know, according to the government, I've got another 30 years of work ahead of me, which is, you know, I can fit a lot into those 30 years. I don't have to do it all now. And I think it's a bit of a, we're a bit victims of this culture of the hustle and, you know, hustle, hustle, hustle. Come on, women, you can do it. Girl boss, girl power. And they always want more and always want a bigger income. And actually, you know, I'm trying to teach my children that we should be content with what we've got and let's try and be grateful for what we have right now. And then I'm saying, but I'm just going to go to work so that I can earn a bit more money or get a bit more success, or I'm just going to post on Instagram so I can get a few more followers. And when I sort of took a step back from that and decided not to be hustling this year and to just be really happy with where my business was and what I've achieved in the last 5 years and to be really grateful for that, then life just got a bit easier. So I suppose I've given up the hustle is what at the moment, right now, is what I've given up, you know, and I'm really super happy with that.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think there's also this kind of pressure, especially when you're a working mum, to like prove that you can work as much as someone who doesn't have children, that like you're still as kind of valuable to the world of work and business as if you, and it's like, that's not realistic. Like you're not going to be able to do both at 100%, because that's 200% and no one can do 200%. You have to find a balance between the two as much as you can. And there will be time enough to focus on just the business if that's what you really want to do in the future.
Absolutely. And it's really difficult, I think, when you're self-employed and you run a craft business and you're a woman and you're working from home, people tend to think, oh, it's a hobby, or, oh, you're just like playing at it. And when I say to people, I'm going to work, they look at me like I'm an alien and they say, oh, you're working now. Where are you working? And I say, no, I've got my own business. Oh, right. OK. And, you know, a quite good friend of mine recently said to me some sort of a flyaway comment about, oh, well, I guess you could make a little bit of money with the wool if you wanted to. And I sort of looked at her and said, you know that I earn more money with this job than I did when I worked for the NHS, right? And she was blown away that this little fun hobby business that I was doing was actually earning a full-time income. And, you know, people are really surprised by that. And so that, I think, is part of this whole culture of not feeling like I'm working properly or hard enough, because people don't recognise that I'm earning, because my I did have a studio for a little while that was in the town, but it just got too difficult traveling and leaving the kids and stuff. So now I've got a studio in my garden. And when I built that, the neighbours were amazed. They were like, why are you building that? Why do you need an office? And when we go away on holiday, a lot of my money pays for us to go traveling, because I love traveling, and we love taking the kids away. And obviously we've got 4 children, so it's not cheap, but I've become a master of doing it on a budget, so it's great. We go to really great places, and we get a lot of comments about, well, I don't know how you afford it. And when I say, well, I work, I say, oh, I didn't realize you actually earned any money.
What do you think I was doing in there? Oh, yeah, it's quite offensive, really, if you think about it, isn't it? It's like a real stereotype, yeah, about women and craft and mothers, like what people actually think about what you do is, yeah, a bit offensive.
Absolutely. It is absolutely. And I think there's this idea that women who run craft businesses from home are just playing at it, and I'm just sat at home knitting, and I'm, you know, and that makes me really cross, partly because I feel like my like thing right from the beginning has been, if I'm going to do this and I'm going to spend time away from my children and take time out of our family, then it has to be worth it. And partly it's worth it, like the retreats are worth it for me because I get nourished and fulfilled by meeting the other women.
Yeah, partly it's a creative, like, worth it, isn't it? Not necessarily just a monetary one.
Exactly, but also it is about the money, and that is, not many people say that, but I'm quite happy to say that. And when I do my business mentoring, that's one of the things that I always really say to the people that I work with is, you know, why are you doing it? And if you're not earning any money, is this worth it? Because I won't spend time away from my family unless it's worth it. Partly it's worth it to me for my creativity, but also it is about money. And I think that we as a culture don't value that.
Yeah, no, definitely. And like, you could find the ways to get fulfilled creatively probably in less hours, you know, if you weren't earning money from it. Yeah, you could have just dyed the yarn just for your own use and still get some of that. But yeah, if you're going to do it like on a regular, like, big chunk of time basis, then yeah, you definitely need to be earning some cash from it.
Absolutely, yeah. And you know, when you have to do all of the other things in a business, building a website, doing your taxes, all of that stuff, that's all part of running a successful business, which is fine. And I do it because it's all part of it, and I actually get a lot of my own sort of pleasure comes from building the business and making it more successful, and I love that. And I love thinking, oh, I wonder if I do this, what will happen, how will that affect my sales, I wonder if I change this or if I tweak this, you know, will that make a difference. And I really love all that problem solving, and growing the business has been really good, but I think that as a society we forget that actually craft businesses run by women at home can be successful, and that has been a bit of a challenge. Yeah.
Yeah, no, 100%. What about on the days where it all goes a little bit pear-shaped, when it goes wrong? What are your sort of coping strategies for, like, the kind of harder days?
Well, I think that they're sort of reasonably common when you have lots of children, anyway, you know, in life. So I'm pretty good at sort of coping with that. I'm on my own with the children quite a lot because my partner works very long hours. So I've learned quite a lot of coping strategies with the children, and they just apply really into the business the same. And I think at the end of the day, although this sort of sounds terrible when you say it out loud, but at the end of the day, it is only wool, and it is, you know, this is only my business. It's not like I'm working where I used to work in the NHS and I've got somebody sat in front of me who's suicidal and I have to help them right now, and it's life and death. Yeah. This business is incredibly important to me. It's important to me, you know, in terms of how much hard work I've put into it. But
one day is not going to make the difference.
No, and I'm just super honest with people, and I'll message them and say, I'm really sorry, your parcel didn't make the last post today, but it's on its way and you should have it tomorrow. Please let me know if it doesn't arrive. And I think also being a real person and being present on social media, that does help in that way, because people do know me, and my kids had chicken pox recently, and oh gosh, that was really challenging.
All of them at once. Oh my gosh.
Well, no, I mean, that was the worst thing, is that the youngest one got it and he was super mild, and I was like, oh, my youngest has got chicken pox, and I managed to work through it quite easily. And it was okay. But then 2 weeks later, when the 8-year-old got it, he got it really badly, and of course then I was saying, we've still got chicken pox and it's really bad, sorry. And I felt like I'd been using the chicken pox excuse for a couple of weeks. But you know, and I do also think that if you're paying for a product, that you deserve to get that, you know, level of service that I'm offering. And it's not okay for me to say, well, I can't do this because my kids have got chicken pox. So I just get up a little bit earlier, you know, do an extra half an hour in the morning. Like I say, I've learned to work really quickly, really efficiently, and I just try and get on with it and know that it's not forever. That day was a bad day. And then one thing I think that makes a massive difference is I try and sit back and go, okay, that didn't work. That person was really upset. Why were they upset? What can I do differently? They're upset because they didn't know that their yarn was going to be 3 days before I posted it out, or when I was doing the subscription clubs, sometimes in the beginning people would say, like, I've paid for this and nothing's arrived. And I'm like, okay, so I have to make it clearer that all yarn is sent on the 15th of the month. So you'll likely get it on the 17th or the 18th, unless you live abroad, and then, you know, da da da. So it's always just taking the problem and thinking, how can I make sure that doesn't happen again? How can I, what can I put into place right now to try and make sure I'm not always dealing with this same complaint or this same question? People are always asking me this question. That must mean that I'm not being clear enough in telling them the answer. So I'm just always trying to do that. And that's worked really, really well for me.
It sounds like you're nailing it. Last but certainly not least, are there any other mums that you find really interesting or inspiring that you think other people should be following along with?
Oh my gosh, so many. I mean, that's the great thing, isn't it, particularly about Instagram, is that it's just full of other inspiring people. I'm a complete podcast addict, so I love listening to podcasts while I work, and I suppose the one that I always recommend to everybody is Elise Joy.
I love her.
I think Elise, yeah, she's just amazing, and I really love the way she just gets stuff done. And she did like a day in the life thing recently, and I was just really struck by how little time she spends scrolling and procrastinating and wasting her time, and how she just uses every moment really efficiently and effectively. And I really love that, and her podcasts are just full of really good quality content as well. So definitely Elise Joy, I really like her. And another really good book that I just recently read, actually, because one of the tips I picked up from Elise Joy was about reading, so I've been reading much more this year, which has been great. And I just read a really good book by Bryony Gordon about running the London Marathon.
Yes. Yeah, I've not read it, but I've seen it.
Oh, it's an amazing book. It's really, really good. It's a super easy read, and it takes a couple of chapters to get into it. But it's just, the message in it is amazing about, actually, if you decide you want to do it, then you can fit that time into your life to do it, and you can do it. And about how much of it is about your mental attitude and just the journey that she went on to achieve what she said she was going to achieve, and how you make that possible, and how you, like, her own personal growth as she got better and better at running. It just really inspired me to be like, yeah, actually, the more I do something, the better I'm going to get at it, and it won't always be easy, but it will be worth it.
Yeah, definitely. And it kind of comes back to that have it all but not all at once thing as well. It's like, you can find time for anything, but just not everything. So if there is something Absolutely. You really want, you can push some of the other stuff out of the way and find time for the thing that you think is really important or that you really want to do.
Yeah, everything absolutely.
Can be pushed aside, but, you know, there's definitely things that I know I do, like you say, scrolling or watching a lot of television or whatever, that you could easily, like, find pockets of time to do the thing that you're really passionate about.
Absolutely, yeah. And that's kind of what, you know, I've done with reading. I keep a book in the car, and then when people, well, you know, if I'm waiting for the kids or something, instead of randomly scrolling, then I can sit and just read a chapter. And that's taken a real shift in my mindset, because before I just wanted to you know, sit and read, and I didn't want to do one page at a time or two pages at a time. And then I realized that actually a little bit builds up to be a big bit, and yeah, so I've just been using my time better thanks to tips from Elise, and definitely the Bryony Gordon book for mindset is really good.
Amazing, fabulous. Would you also like to share where people can find you if they want to follow along or get some beautiful yarns?
Oh, yeah. OK, so I'm on Instagram. I have my own personal account on Instagram where I just post pictures of our life here and mostly of the beach, because we're always at the beach. And that's Daisy_inspirecreatedo. And that's where people can contact me for business mentoring as well. I do that through that account. And then my yarn is Devon Sun Yarns. And I've got a website and an Instagram and a Facebook and a Facebook group as well. All of those things. And it's just Devon Sun Yarns all the way across.
All the way around. Well, I'll put all links in the show notes as well. Thank you so much for chatting with me today. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. It was really fun.
And that's all, folks. As always, you can find the show notes for this episode and any links to things we've talked about at amyliz.co.uk/podcast. And as always, I would absolutely love it if you left a rating or a review on the podcast app that you've been listening, or another one if you have more than one. I don't know that people do that, but if you do, then please feel free. It would help other people find the show and also gives me the warm fuzzies when you do so. You can find me to chat about this episode or about anything else at Amy Liz Blog on Twitter or Instagram. That's AmyLizBlog. Next week, my guest is Sarah Darby Need. She reached out to me by email to tell her story, and I'm so glad that she did because it was so interesting. She became pregnant in her first year of uni and then managed to finish her degree with a year abroad, have another baby, and start her career all in the last few years. It's a really impressive story. I think that you're really going to get a lot out of what she says. So yeah, until then, we'll speak soon.